your Twitter feed. You pick who to follow and their tweets pop up. Well, once it was that simple, but lately a lot of people have been squawking about what else is showing up in their news feeds. Ads. Twitter has gone the way of Facebook and other social media platforms in search of money, and now what you see is what happens when freedom of choice meets an algorithm. We called Ryan Ozawa early this morning. He's the director of communications at Hawaii Information Service, and he gave us this explanation.
Well, for all of these social platforms, their basic product is the news feed: Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. And so when they need to make money, which unfortunately they need to, putting things into that feed is how they sell advertising and how they survive. Twitter has been perhaps the last, because I was surprised, even Instagram now, when you're browsing your Instagram, pictures of your friends at the beach or having a cocktail, every so often you'll see, you know, I'm not sure, a restaurant or, you know, a resort photo that you didn't ask for, and that's how they're making money. Twitter was pure for probably the longest that I can think of, and of course it was something that I cherished and loved, and Twitter was my favorite platform, but yes, they too are seeing the pressure to actually make revenue, and now, even though you haven't subscribed to the McDonald's feed, you might see a tweet from McDonald's about the Big Mac while you're tracking all of the other things you're tracking on Twitter.
Ryan, is that based on some sort of algorithm of what you're likely to enjoy or want to see, or is it just randomly inserted because it's advertising?
I would say in all of these cases, they want the best response for their advertisers, so I am pretty sure in all of these cases, they do try to orient those advertising elements to things you like. So if you're following a lot of musical artists and celebrities in that respect, you'll probably see more ads for new albums or magazines and stuff like that. If you follow a lot of news, you're going to see more tweets about news stories that are promoted from news organizations. I'm sure that with the right price, they could basically say everybody is going to see an ad for Coca-Cola, but because the money is in whether the user engages with that content and clicks on it or subscribes to it, it's in their best interest to make it something that you're likely to like.
So in a way, this sounds almost like television. A commercial is going to come on whether you like it or not. I mean, back in the days before you could skip such things by, you know, using your DVR. Is this where all of this is migrating because everybody is looking for a way to make a buck?
I think that it's inevitable, but I also actually kind of like it. Although there are downsides to it, people talk about the filter bubble and, you know, creating a channel that's only things you agree with and, you know, isolating yourself from provocative or challenging opinions. The fact of the matter is a TV advertisement is basically designed for everybody. I don't want to say lowest common denominator, but it's the shotgun approach. We don't know who's going to see this, but we figure it's a lot of people. On these platforms, they can say, look, we can basically show your ad for your brand new restaurant to people who have a demonstrated interest in trying new restaurants. And so you'll reach a smaller number of people, but the proportion of those people who are likely to be excited by your product is higher. And I think that's exciting both for the advertiser and certainly for me as a user. If I like food, I'll see more food. If I like sports, I'll see more sports.
So you're really talking about target marketing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
As all of this continues and people get used to it, are they going to actually find, I mean, from what we've seen with other platforms where this is already happening, any guess as to whether or not this is going to be something that almost becomes like white noise, you kind of just skip through it?
I think that's the challenge of advertising since the beginning of time. You know, eventually billboards get bigger, the ads get longer, the pop-up ads cover more of your screen or harder and harder to close, because you do get, you basically start to ignore and learn even subconsciously that, okay, that's a banner ad. I'm not even going to look at that part of the page anymore. Anything on the right side is an ad. I'm not going to look over there anymore. So, yes, I would say that we will develop an immunity to it, and as that becomes clear to an advertiser or a platform, they're going to find a way to pattern interrupt and basically get your attention again.
And while they're doing that, there are others who are trying to make sure that you can see your pure stream. We talked about Tweetbot a while ago. Is that still the best way to go if you don't want to see all of these Twitter ads?
Well, I think that that's true because it's built by a third party, so they're not being tinkered with yet. But because Twitter controls the platform, and of course, most famously for Twitter, they almost sucked all of the air out of the third-party business model by putting all of these restrictions on it because they want you to use the official Twitter service. I think that it's inevitable that now that they're testing putting these ads into streams on Twitter, that once they've determined it works, once they've determined that advertisers like it, it's going to be enforced on Tweetbot. But if you want to preserve the pure stream just a little bit longer, you might want to look at those third-party clients.
Is all of this chasing other people to use Tweetbot-type platforms? I mean, if there's a way of being able to get around all of this, somebody's going to figure it out. And there may be people who will say that's a lot more appealing than having to go through all this nonsense with Twitter or Facebook or.
Right. Well, I love that it's kind of the universal problem. Even newspapers face it, right? Which is you can either get people to pay for the content and you can limit the ads, or you basically let everybody see it, but you have to advertise against them. I think that there will always be people, just like the invention of the TiVo, which lets you skip commercials on TV, there will always be hackers coming up with products to strip out the ads of Twitter, to block the ads in Facebook, and give you that pure, you know, unadulterated, non-commercial experience. But it's an arms race. There's going to always be the next advancement that gets around to those blocking features. What people like me, because as a content person, we dream about is that, well, you know, people who are interested in our content should pay for that content, and then we won't advertise because they're supporting our work. But at the scale that the web works, I don't think that's ever going to be realistic.
Well, and that the fact that it's not feasible is the fact that we haven't seen it.
Right. It's not been done yet. Many experiments, and basically the better it's funded, the longer they last, but none have been, I think, universally sustainable.
Very often you see the things, as you've mentioned, that you've already sort of given an indication to Twitter or Facebook that you want to see. And so they show you more of what they think you would like to see. That seems to be a very different situation than what happens when there's real news, and why we see so few news items, real news items, showing up on Facebook and yet a lot of chatter about it on Twitter very often before you even see it on the news.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a news person, I think I love Twitter for that. Whatever you subscribe to, you see everything that's there, and it can be a lot of noise, but when it's an earthquake in Napa Valley or a controversial killing in Ferguson, it breaks very quickly, and I think people sharing that information can take off at a large scale very fast. And it takes some time before CNN says, okay, I think there's something here, let's start talking about it. Meanwhile, over on Facebook, if you're going to be engaging with that platform and saying, oh, I like these funny articles, I like these pictures of my friend's cats, I like all of these ice bucket challenge videos, it's going to take a long time for that algorithm to pick up on the rising chorus of a breaking news story to finally show it to you. Meanwhile, you're living in ice bucket challenge land. So a lot of people are really concerned about those algorithms that you don't know how they work, you don't know how they're weighing things, and in a way, it's a machine choosing to show you what it thinks you'd want to see. And breaking news is sometimes something that's important that people don't want to see.
Well, especially with so few people on Facebook actually choosing to follow journalists or news organizations, about a third of the folks who are on there do that, that's a little disturbing.
That's true. I mean, it's also the challenge of a newspaper or television news, where there's less and less interest in whether local or national, news as a source of being connected to your community or your country. Everybody might like, NBC News or the New York Times on Facebook, but once again, if you're not linking or clicking on those articles, but you are responding to a viral list of 30 celebrity dresses on the red carpet, Facebook's going to say, okay, you're not really interested in the New York Times, so here's more celebrity dresses.
Which means it's still making a decision for you, which is what just seems to needle some folks.
Absolutely. When there's a change to your feed based on some math that you can't understand, on one hand, you might get really, really annoyed at what it's showing you. I've seen a lot of people saying, why am I seeing all these ice bucket challenge videos? But you should also be asking yourself, what am I not being shown?
Okay, well, for the moment, we're going to leave it with that question hanging. Thanks so much, Ryan. We'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Bethann.
Ryan Ozawa is the Director of Communications at Hawaii Information Service. He's the co-founder of Hawaii Open Data and co-host of HPR2's Bite Marks Cafe.